So, hi and welcome to episode 21 of the Gaming Navigators. I am Aditya, and as usual, I have Leong and Sankalp with me. We're back after a much-needed international break. The big game week 8 went, a miserable one. Finally, we got a much-needed break to forget about FPL. And now we're back, we're closer to game week 9, looking at a lot of interesting takes. Purely main focus is that I have decided to wildcard. So, a little bit of, was it a knee-jerk decision or not, we'll see. But the most important fact is that we're going to have a fixture swing from game week 10 onwards, and I think the next important run of FPL begins. So, with that being said, let's look at the key talking points that we're going to cover in this episode. As always, we look at the few of the transfer trends that we're seeing. Obviously, wildcard moves here and there, that's been done. Look at the game week 9 fixtures. We look at wildcard if you are in the boat to wildcard in game week 9 or game week 10, we'll see. We look at a few of the FPL dilemmas for this particular week, some of the captaincy options, and last but not the least, our bus teams. That being said, before we move forward, I want to ask both of you, how was game week 8 and what did you do in this international break? I'll go to Sankalp first.
I don't remember how game week 8 was, except for the fact that I did captain Salah. So I think it might have been better, but it was not a great game week. I had, I think, 10 players or something. I had completely forgotten my team, and yesterday I was just looking at my team. I was like, hey, I've already used my wildcard. How is it looking so bad even now? So a lot of thoughts in my mind, a lot of things that I want to try out. But overall, international break was good. I think I was able to take out a lot of thoughts around football, right? Went complete blank, enjoyed work, family, had just focused there. I didn't watch any of the international matches, a bit of cricket, that's all.
Yeah, for me, it's I think one of my worst game week ever when in my FPL history, which I have around, I think, 28 points and took a hit. So it's 24 points for me. And I captained Haaland, so I got nothing from it. And the only player that returned for me is Watkins, and I didn't captain him in the end. So, I've resisted the urge to wildcard. So I've decided to just roll for now, I think, and see what happens. But I think the squad is fine. I have some unlucky players in the last game week. Then mostly I just try to fight off the urge to wildcard and just watch some rugby. So far, so good for me.
Where are you placed, Leong? I mean, what's your rank like currently?
Currently, it's 2.2 million. I think I have 1 million plus fall in the rank, so it's very volatile at the moment.
Yeah.
Well, game week 8 didn't go according to plan, obviously. I think most of us ended up playing with 10 players because of all the injuries, and that's how it went, and ended up with 38 odd points. And my rank is around 3.6 mil, so I was like, you know what, game week 9 or 10, it doesn't matter. I have to wildcard and I have to get in the set of players. Those who have the particular fixture swing over the next few weeks, so that's why I went ahead and I did that. And
yeah, I think the having important players is more critical compared to the timing side of things. I'm a guy who, especially when it comes to wildcard, right, it's a long-term team. It's a 5 week, 6 week team. So doing it next week and missing out on one or two players is going to hurt you more compared to taking them in a week where it's not ideal, right? So I would rather go for the better players and hope they do regardless of the fixture.
Yeah, fingers crossed. I mean, I think I've seen a lot of managers who are pretty much in the same boat with me. Team value is not that great, and maybe potential price raises here and there. That's the reason I did not wait and I had to do it off. Anyways, we'll talk about it later. Let's look at we'll look at the transfer trends to understand first. And obviously, I think players that are being bought in are pretty much very straightforward names. Watkins, Salah, Madison, Joachim Madison, and Cash. Obviously, these players have good run of fixtures and obviously have been performing well so far this season. So, more or less, I think we could pretty much say that these are template picks. There's nothing much to discuss on here. But in terms of transfers out, anything else?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we're just going to transfers out, so I want to add something there.
Okay, so we see some interesting players that are being shipped out, except Estupinian. Let's say that Estupinian, we don't know whether he's going to be back or not. But the rest, all four players, pretty much have good run of games over the next, let's say, 3, 4 odd weeks. That's why it looks a bit interesting. I have shipped out possibly three players from these four, but one might come back.
Okay, and I one thing interesting, I was just looking at the forward movements, right? While because I want to bring in someone, but I saw the most transferred out forward this week is Haaland, and it's around 130K, so I think he just missed out in the top five. And Alvarez was third highest sold forward, yeah, with around 80K transfer. So you have two City forwards, which everyone thought was a good set and forget, but people have started selling them as well. What's happening?
It's basically the probably seeing teams having green fixtures and not the players is the people are doing
I mean,
the low Haaland teams.
certain team kept Haaland, completely quiet last game week, so maybe it's that.
Someone is very, very happy. I think you had an excellent international break, ignoring the fact your FPL team and other things. But in
Yeah,
terms of
I
Arsenal,
just kept thinking of our win. Yeah, it's Arsenal win.
it's great to see a change for once.
Yeah, I mean, you have to start winning these games if you want to have any chance of winning the league, because these are your 6-pointer matches, right? So losing these matches or even drawing them makes no sense at home. At home, I wanted us to win, and I'm very happy. I mean, overall, I think it was a very cagey match, very boring match, and something that we also predicted when we were talking pre-game week 8, that don't expect a lot of goals. And I was actually telling people, don't bench White, because you might get a solid good pointer, and he again gave a clean sheet. So a lot of pointers, obviously we'll discuss it in the coming slides.
Yeah, and just going to the transfers out. So actually, in the list, I have two players that is in my plans to bring in game week 10, which is Saka and Mitoma. Of course, it's depending on the flags as well, because we're not sure whether they are okay. I think Mitoma will be fine because he's just out due to fatigue, I think. So he should be fine. And both of the players have a good run of fixtures. I think game week 10, especially Brighton. And Arsenal, I think they have Sheffield United next, and then their good run start at game week 12. So one of the reason I think these players are sold might be people are just going for 1 week punt in game week 9, and they plan to actually go for the fixture swings and wildcard in game week 10. So I think we'll look at the swings later as well. So that's the only thing that makes sense for me, because I don't see why people want to sell Saka and Mitoma and just for 1 week and then buy them back the next game week.
I'm really dying because I'm done with my wild card. Saka is back to his starting price now, 8.5. This is the cheapest. If you can get him now, this is the cheapest you are going to get him. And I don't see the logic of selling him, because I think he's still continue to give you returns, right? Week on week, week on week. And my gut says he's going to start this week, because the injury was not that serious, and we were anyways expecting him to perhaps start the City match. So after two weeks, knowing Saka the way he's been playing for us, consecutive, I think City match was the first match that he missed after 2.5 seasons or something. So I don't understand the sell, but as a non-Saka owner, I'm really hoping that I manage the money to buy him somehow.
Let's look at game week 9 fixtures, perhaps to understand why people are going for 1 week punch, and then we'll look at wild card. That's game week 9 wild card. So I think probably the early kickoff game is what people are getting tempted by a lot of people. Managers going for Luis Diaz, Darwin, a lot of other names we have, and a few interesting games we also have lined up in this particular week. So I think that's the reason the 1 week punch. There are a lot of 1 week punch that we can see in these particular games.
Yeah, I mean, Liverpool Everton away generally is a very, very tight match, but Liverpool at home do better. I don't think there are goals in this match, but it's the season, you know, it's the game week starting match, and that's what I generally worry about. You know, things become a bit unpredictable in the first match. You don't know what happens. And I was looking at an article from by Elevenify, and you know, there's someone who wrote about Everton. They are doing so well when you look purely at stats point of view. They are in the top five when it comes to XG created. Right, defensively also they are not that bad when it comes to stats, but somehow, you know, they have been missing the mark. Obviously, the quality of players come into play. So I don't expect a Liverpool clean sheet as well. I think Everton have the potential to hurt them, and I think they are playing good counter-attacking football as well. So things can be interesting. I see a Liverpool win, but I think it can be a good high-scoring match. So it's a good game for you to have attackers. For example, in one of my drafts, I have Doucouré, and I'll be playing him happily, right? Hoping he gets something again.
Yeah, actually, Everton, they started the season quite okay if you look at the performance. But if you look at the results, actually, at some point, some of the fans actually called for Sean Dyche to be sacked and replaced by Potter. So, but I think if right now they sort of find back their feet and their form as well. So I don't think it will be an easy game for Liverpool. But I'm more interested in asking Sun Cup because since Chelsea is having a good sort of good run of form recently with their three wins in a row. So are you worried at all with Arsenal going away to Chelsea? Are you worried at all that they might not get away with any points in this game?
Hey, we just beat City. I'm not worried about Chelsea. I think it's going to be a bit tougher match. I don't, because I remember last season, early into last season, we had Chelsea away, and I was pretty confident that we were going to have a good game. People were not as confident, but finally we showed. I mean, it was a 1-0 game, but we dominated them, you know, right from the start till the end. But I do expect a very tight scoreline because I think Chelsea have been playing well. It's just that they don't finish up chances, right? So you have to see how well you play. But I do think Arsenal are looking like a team, especially at the back. You know, we are looking way more solid than we started the season with. And the defense looks settled. You know, the Gabriel Saliba partnership works rather than putting Saliba alone and taking those risks. Now, as long as we continue with the same balance squad, I feel that we will be able to manage things at the back, and then it's primarily down for us to create that one opportunity, score, and then wait for Chelsea to attack us and then create again, right? So I think the game state will matter a lot in this match. If we are able to score early or first, I'll be very happy. We should be able to carve out a win. But say Chelsea, you know, manage to score first, it can get really interesting as a match.
Yeah, since you mentioned about Arsenal's backline, so I just have two questions for you. First is on the condition of Saliba. So as we know, he pulled out of the international duty due to a toe injury. So is he likely to start against Chelsea? And the second question is on Gabriel, since he's I think is all time low price now, right, at 4.7. So is he a good buy now that if people is wildcarding in game week 10, maybe do you recommend them buying Gabriel?
Yeah, I think the first question was primarily, what was the first question?
It's on Saliba's availability.
On Saliba, I think it's more an international break injury, right? I think Arsenal have done pretty well. We have managed not to send a lot of our players outside, right? From the reports that I read, it did not look like a serious injury. It was something that he had, but they wanted to, you know, just use the break to cool him down, nurse him down. And so it looks like he'll be back. Gabriel is a player that I'm looking to bring in as well. But there's always that element of risk because Partey's back again, right? So will Arteta again suffer it out? You know, what will he do? There is that small element of risk. Will Partey come in and Declan Rice take the LCM position? Because the problem is now, the reason I want to go double of our attack, but I'm little skeptical, especially if you don't go with Saka, if you want to go with someone like Martinelli, because he scored and a lot of people are now, you know, jumping on Martinelli. The only challenge is we don't know who plays that LCM role, right? So Havas can play that role, Vieira can play that role, or maybe Arteta, you know, plays Declan Rice in that role and keeps Partey as the lone six. So there are a lot of questions, primarily on the left side of things. And I feel Chelsea match will be a good match for us to see out things, that what has Arteta decided. Again, it might not be something that he's going to continue with, because Chelsea away is a different decision compared to Sheffield next. Right. But ideally, in my mind, I think it's a good partnership going on. We are finally settled. We are not settled at the beginning of the season. It doesn't make sense to try and shuffle it out again, right? And I would like to take that punt, for especially the Gabriel one, because I am currently at 10 players. Unless Kabore magically starts again, or Botman is completely fit. That's one of my questions to you later. But I would like to get Gabriel in, but there's a small question mark, primarily because of how season started for him.
Yeah, I think that the Martinelli thing is one of the questions that Aditya is going to ask later as well, because I see Martinelli is in one of his drafts. So I just want to go back to Aditya. So I think we saw a very thrilling match ending towards the Man United's game, right, when they come back in injury time and win, surprisingly, due to you know, their best scorer, Scott McTominay. So do you think this is a win that will kickstart their season, or bounce back, or something? Aditya?
Well, really, I mean, we have to bounce back, is what I would say, to the least. And that was a much needed 3 points. It's a very, what we could say, typical United fashion to that game, to old school 4-time winners. But yeah, I mean, we have interesting couple of games that are coming up. Obviously, we have Man City that we're going to play in game week 10. So, I think that game was pretty much important for United to win and get all the 3 points. And hopefully, that kickstarts the return and the movement in the right direction, is what I would say. So, but we have a couple of injuries again. So, I think Casemiro and Amrabat might be out. Not sure, we'll probably get a proper update by tomorrow. So that's again going to cause a problem in terms of our already leaky defense. So, yeah, we have good run of fixtures coming up. And as always, you need to win those games and not drop points. And yeah, we'll see. But I'm not really that hyped about United. But I think the next two games, like really, if you want to get a United player, I think the next two games, if we start looking well, is when I think you should get onto United base, probably after the City game. I think you'll have your proper answer by then.
One thing I want to check with you guys is the, you know, Haaland namesake Holland, right? So what are your guys' thoughts on that? Because I'm really, really keen to go there, especially because I have two questions, right? How do you feel about him? As a second striker in your team, in your FPL squad, or as a third striker, right? Is he worth that sacrificing the DRB, for example?
I would. Because whatever is going to go is at the end of the day is going to go to him. And he's the only guy who's looking good at the moment along with Bruno. So if you want to, that's what I've been seeing. I think I've been seeing this for at least the last 3-4 odd weeks. Like it's Hoyland, it's Hoyland. If you want to get someone, it's all it. Because although Rashford did score, but he's the one who is going to get the end product at the end of the day. He's the one that is going to allow others to score by making those movements. And he's gone up to 7.2, which is a bit surprising. It's just purely based on the hype. I don't understand.
I was
the
hoping he'd drop. For him.
Yeah. I think if he was 7, I think he would be a no-brainer as probably one of the best options for second striker for that budget. Otherwise, I think we'll have Watkins and the others purely better.
Alvarez, you feel he's a better decision than Alvarez?
I don't think so. Obviously, Man City are a better team than United. So Alvarez is better than him. But if you don't want to go Alvarez, let's say you have Haaland and you're like, I just want one City attacker and that's Haaland. And you don't want Rashford or Fernandes and you want to get a United player, then I think Haaland, and then you can kind of play around.
But Man City attack is not clicking that much as well. I mean, I'm not saying it on account of the Arsenal match, but in general, from what we have seen, right, they're not that first, you know, the best attacking team in the league so far, right? How do you guys feel about the City-Brighton game at home?
See, that's the game it might click.
I think they'll come back better because we saw Silva returning, we saw Grealish returning. They have more choices now, and even they have the option to actually bench Alvarez in this game if he's tired. So I think they'll be better as the season move on, and they'll string together a few wins, maybe 8-9 wins in a row like they usually do, and then then they'll start. If Arsenal don't slip up, I think they'll keep up. But if Arsenal slip up, maybe they'll pull away again.
But Arsenal are not the leaders now.
I don't really see Spurs as contenders. And since you mentioned Spurs, so I think we have to mention what Son did in his international game. So in his first game, he actually didn't feature at all, and the second game is played in Korea. So he asked to be played. And he actually played for the whole game, I think, and scoring a goal. But we saw if those who saw the game, he actually struggled quite a lot and limped a lot. And you can see in his expression that he's actually playing with some sort of injury and he's hurting a bit in the game. So will we ever have a Son that is healthy and playing 90 minutes for now? I don't think so. Probably the next game as well, even though he has a really good game against Fulham. Luckily, the game is on Tuesday, so he'll get some rest flying back from Korea. But again, I don't think we can rely on him playing the full game against Fulham, even though if he does, then he'll be a really good captaincy choice for me.
What do you think, Leong? I mean, people have just thought of, you know, sort of written off Haaland as a captaincy choice. I think most of social media is now focused on whether it's Salah, whether it's Son, whether it's Madison, right? Do you think Haaland is not the guy for this match?
Against Brighton, I think there's no doubt that we will captain Haaland, because you look at Brighton's defensive record, they don't keep clean sheets. So if Man City score, then likely that Haaland will score some. So at least one, I think Haaland will finally score in this game. Because you look at Haaland's career statistic, he don't really go on a scoreless streak for more than four games, I think. That's his longest scoreless streak. So this is the fourth game. So yeah, I think he'll break the duck in this one.
One thing I'm also looking at will be interesting in terms of match is the Villa-West Ham match, because it can go either way. It's so difficult to predict. But Villa have been so good at home that kind of assume that it's going to continue. But West Ham kind of play the football which is like anti-Villa. Right? They're going to sit back, try to take you off on counters. Do you see the Watkin trend to continue? I don't have Watkin for some time now. Should we worry? Should we get back there?
Yeah, I watched the Newcastle West Ham game, and I really got frustrated with how West Ham sit back and absorb the pressure and letting us have all the balls, and they still managed to score two goals in their red attack somehow. So I think when they are really sharp when they attack, and they are really solid at the back. So it's really the type of football that David Moyes want them to play. And now, especially Antonio bullying our defense without Botman. So hopefully Botman will be back this game week. So we'll look at that. But I think West Ham will be solid at the back. And I don't really want to captain Watkins this game week, because I can see him struggling against the two very tough West Ham defenders in Zuma and Agut, which will mark him very tightly.
Okay, let's hope so. as a non-Watkins owner. But any of you guys had a look at, especially Aditya, I know he's on a wild card. Have you guys had a look at Sufal, who's doing really well now? You know, again, getting assist reminds me of like 3-4 seasons back when I used to really, you know, jump on Sufal and he used to give me so much good points. Do you have it? Do you have him in your draft, Aditya?
I think with that being said, let's go on to wildcard rather, and then we'll get this topic up. Let's not, you know, kind of repeat things. So we'll go on to the wildcard. And to your question, is that I did consider Sufal, but the point is that when you already, I already have a couple of plays in that price bracket who are better than him. So, I mean, if you don't have Areola, that's other thing. So, I don't like to generally double like a goalie and defense if they end up playing together. And, you know, if that's a wipeout and that's a hammering, you're going to lose a lot of points. True. That's the reason. But for that price, I mean, he's an excellent shot for 4.5. There's nothing wrong. He's a good player to have, but I already have Areola and another West Ham player, so I'm not going to triple up. Okay. With that, we look at the fixtures here. Game week 9 and game week 10 onwards, we can see the immediate contrast. A lot of teams have good fixtures from game week 10 onwards. And how do we go about this? Do we start with maybe a few players from each position? What you guys would recommend? And then we'll look at, I mean, with the teams and players play together. Let's do that.
Yeah, I think you should be leading us, right? You know, where do you go? What did you think? You know, which were the players you were thinking about? And we'll try and, you know, add names to it.
Yeah, so obviously, I think goalkeeper-wise, I think pretty much we know the two names that I think is going to be sort of a default picks. In terms, if you're on a wildcard, that's obviously it's going to be Areola and Turner for the value they offer. And for the fixtures they have, I think pretty much if you say Areola is someone who will get a lot of save points because West Ham conceded a lot of shots, so I think that's a good value you're getting for that particular price. It's not even 4.5, I think it's 4.3, so I said that's not bad, and that's enough. I think with goalkeepers we have few other picks, like I think Norberto Neto and other players, but I don't think you want to pay that extra 1.2, 0.3 for such keepers than having, I think, what, two playing goalies for that price.
Looking at the fixtures, and because we were talking a bit about Arsenal defense earlier, did Raya come to your mind? You know, 4.7, 4.8?
I think Raya is 4.8. I'm not sure. Let me just have a quick look. Raya is 4.8. I did look at him, but I went to Gabriel Marles. Purely because of the price in the defensive zone. That's the reason.
Looking at the fixtures, I feel you need to have someone there, right? And a lot of people have pointed to me, Raya does have good BPS potential because of his passing rate. Something to keep in mind. I think there's good uprise in the number of people who are buying Raya. It's just that you can do it only on wildcard. Right? I never like doing my goalkeeping transfers using my FT. So, okay. He was there on your list, but Gabriel over Raya, right? Okay.
Yeah. I think anything you want to add, Leon? In terms of goalkeepers, I think it's pretty much straightforward. I think there are 2-3 odd names. I think Areola and Turner are probably the two best for that value we get.
United fixtures look blue. Did you consider Onana by any chance?
I shipped him out. I can't bear. I don't think we are going to keep any clean sheets. Even if we keep for 2-3 weeks,
it's then
you should consider. Otherwise, just stay away because somehow some stupid goal that we let in and it's a bit annoying.
Yeah. Even then, I feel. Regular, a lot of people are telling me, you know, I know you United fans are telling us that Regulan seems more or less close to being match fit, right? Will you consider him if you want to get in a United defender? If and when?
No. If United start looking well over the next 2 odd weeks and I have to unfortunately ship out a defender, then I would go for that particular price. Otherwise, no. I mean, he's good. I mean, see, it depends on what kind of game you want to play. Whether you want to play the differential game, sort of. You should get players that people are not looking at, but pretty much sticking to the probably the templatey names that have good fixtures and were reliable, sort of.
Yeah, we have not discussed Crystal Palace defense at any point of time, right? But they have been doing well. They have been giving points. The fixtures, the first two fixtures don't look good, but then after that, I think they have like four or five good fixtures run, right? Any takers there? Did you think of Johnstone, who's giving good points to his owners?
Yes, Johnstone, I looked at, but I think it is probably Mitchell and McKay and Joachim Anderson. Yes. So three good names, and I think Anderson, I think has scored he's gone from 4.5 to 4.9. over the last 3 weeks, probably because I think he scored
against United.
Yeah, and he's had. But Palace are kind of looking very astute and strong defensively. So, I mean, obviously, Hoxton's team, that's the way they play. They just annoy you by defending so well. So,
and their attackers are injured. So, they're sitting back and absorbing, right? I have not gone to Palace, and I feel that it's kind of a miss from my side so far. That's the reason I'm asking, because you are on a wild card, right? So,
yeah, since you mentioned Palace, actually, one of our dilemmas today is about Crystal Palace. So, maybe just discuss it first. Okay. So, when we look at their fixtures, the next two fixtures, of course, is bad. So, if you wild card, you might not want to consider them for now with Newcastle and Spurs coming up. But you look at their fixtures from game week 11 until game week 15, I think they have a run of good fixtures. So, if you look at their current defensive stats, actually, the seventh. Currently, in terms of defensive steps, and but of course we look at their past fixtures. Arsenal is the only tough team that they have faced so far. No offense to United, and also we discussed about Anderson, right? His price has already rise to 4.9. So we were just wondering, is it worth paying 0.4 million more to get Anderson when we can pay 4.5 for Gehi and also Mitchell? So there's actually some points to prove that this 0.4 million is quite worth it, because so far Anderson has by far the most shots in among all the defenders. Seven shots so far, and six of these shots are actually in the box, so it's very dangerous. And it's not just a flash in the pan, because you look at last season, he actually led in terms of shots as well with 22, and Gehi is quite far behind with just 14. But for me, if you want to save in defenders, I definitely would recommend Gehi above Mitchell and Anderson. But for now, most likely you won't get him in his wildcard team, because you will have to bench them against Newcastle and Spurs. So might as well not do that for now.
Makes sense.
Pretty much it makes sense, yeah. That's the only thing. But just for discussion, when you go up to 4.9, you're almost 5, right? Start looking at players in that bracket who will obviously be slightly better than what actually Anderson offers. So then you will look at 4.5 million defenders. At the end of the day, 4.5 million defenders, what you expect is an odd week or so, you expect clean sheets. And when the fixtures turn well, you expect some decent returns from them. So I think that's why I think Mark Gehi is kind of slightly better rather than going that. But yeah, you've already justified in terms of his numbers, why there was a price rise for him. But other than that, any other, I mean, obviously one of the things that's been spoken a lot over the last maybe day or so is the injury to Andy Robertson, and that's opened up a 4.4 million slot for that's Simicas. Liverpool defense, and we have Konstantinos Tsimikas, and I have just completely stayed away from that option purely because I don't trust Liverpool's defense, and we don't know when he's going to get subbed off.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking. I was looking at the color, right? There are three blue colors, deep blue colors. And I was like, hey, you know, maybe we look at the Liverpool defense. But then Everton at home, Everton have the stats to back them, right? And they're sometimes scoring. Nottingham Forest is a good team. It's no longer a team that, you know, you laugh at. They're going to score. They scored against most of us, against Arsenal, against Chelsea. So they're going to find a way to counter and score. Luton away is perhaps the only match I'm going to be more confident about. Brentford, good team. You know, they're not going through a good time for sure, but I still feel they have the firepower to, you know, find one through. Then you have City away, you have Fulham home. So it's there, but it's not exactly there. It's not appealing to me, right? So if you are looking for a bench fodder, okay, great. But then if you're looking for a bench fodder, why go to 4.4? You can always go to 4.2, 4.1, guys, right? So that's where I feel Tsimikas is a bit of 50-50. Can he, you know, go completely mad? Can he give a lot of assist? I don't think so. Nothing in his record has so far shown us, you know, him going mad. He might give you one assist or two somewhere in this run, but I don't think he'll be someone who will be like, you know, top scoring and you'll be thinking, hey, why did I not get him? He's such an easy answer. He's not an easy answer. It's just one of those things where you take a punt and hope to get lucky.
Yeah, since we are speaking about Tsimikas, so I actually just written a thread this morning, which now I think have almost 100k views. So I just tell something about the thread because I think
Leong is burning it on Twitter.
Yeah, so apparently this thread has managed to attract people because people seem to want to bring in Tsimikas. So actually, I look at the time since Tsimikas have joined the club and the time that Robos is out. So there are 18 occasions which happened since 2011. And out of all those 18 occasions, actually, Tsimikas started ahead of Robo for those situations, whether it's rotation or whether it's Robo being not 100% fit or whether he's out injured. And in those 18 occasions, actually 11 occasions, is Tsimikas actually finished the match in 90 minutes. And only two of the games where he's subbed by players other than Robbo. So one of these is Milner and another one is Elliot. So Demner. I think, yeah, he's people kind of question whether Tsimikas will come in for Robbo in this game week and so on when he's out. I think maybe he's out for 10 weeks or so. So it's quite a long-term injury. But there are some Liverpool fans that mentioned that Joe Gomez might come in because he has played left back in many occasions in his career. So I've looked into how many times that Gomez actually played as a left back for Liverpool. So I've totaled up with 9 times in total. But then out of those 9 times, 5 of those are in 2015. And then another one is in 2018, so quite long ago. So in recent years, we only have 3 occasions where he actually deputized in the left back position. But so is Tsimikas worth getting? Probably yes. But we have for me, I just want to look one more match this game week to see whether he really come in for Robertson, because there's always a possibility that Gomez plays there, or even some mentioned that Kwanzaa can play there as well, and then Trent will move in as a inverted some sort of fullback. So yeah. It's possible,
so
as well.
What the thread did is basically it gave us a bit more of surety in terms of minutes and appearances.
It doesn't really, because in recent years, I think Trent has a newfound position or newfound role that he can play, and that time he doesn't really have that role yet. So I can't really say that 100% for sure that Tsimikas is going to start. That's why I'm sort of thinking of getting Tsimikas, but I after writing the thread, I sort of call off the plan for myself.
I have a homework for you for next week, you know, Leong. I want you to write a thread as to why people should watch Game Week Navigators.
Yeah, I have to think about it. How many words should the thread be? 1,000 words?
We need 100k views there as well.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I'll try.
We're definitely doing something wrong here if Leong is getting more views there.
Anyways. Yeah, so anything else that you are considering for defenders or...
What was you know, who were your top three defenders? Because I feel defender is such a crowded space, right? I don't see any easy answer, but who were your top three or top two? Who were you sure of getting?
So for me, I actually got in Maddie Cash last week, so you know, for slipping in. So he was the first option, default pick. I was not even going to look around. And the other player I wanted to get it was, I actually shipped out Saliba for Gabriel because I needed that extra money out from Saliba so that I could actually... especially for the next couple of games and the way Aston play, obviously. And the third was, I switched Botman to Pern purely because of the uncertainty that with the Botman will play or not. So these three were more or less my nailed picks for these, I mean, for the next few weeks. The remaining two are obviously the forward picks. So I went for Charlie Taylor or Kabore. Obviously, Taylor is now someone who's playing regularly for Burnley and he's 3.9. So again, I took the 0.1 out. Last, I have Destiny Udogi from Game Week 1 itself. So I've not really looked to transfer him out, even though he's like, I think, around 3 yellow cards. So it's just 2 away from suspension. That's the only worrying thing. And obviously, if you compare him with Pedro Porro, who's 5.1, obviously has better numbers and all, but yeah. I'm not really that
not convinced.
So, yeah.
Perfect. So what I'm hearing is basically you wanted Cash for sure, Matty Cash. The second was you wanted an Arsenal defender, you got for the cheapest one. And you wanted a Newcastle defender, you went for the cheapest one. That's how we've managed, right? So all eyes will be there on your midfield and forward next, right? Perfect.
Yeah, but I actually saw one of your dilemma, which is between Botman and Burn. So the latest news is actually Botman is training. So I think Sankar wanted to hear that as well, because you needed Botman to start. So because Lascelles actually, he played quite well, so there might be a possibility that Eddie Howe wants to stick with him one more week. But I think Botman is training quite well and he had some rest during international break. So if you ask me to choose, I would say that I believe Botman will start this game week. And we don't really have a lot of choices in the centre back. So if he starts and he's okay, then I think he's a better choice than Burn, because Burn faced some competitors at the left hand side, even though it hasn't happened yet, but eventually I think some rotation will happen.
Burn is one of your major goal scorers, man. I don't think he's going to get missed.
Once the fixtures get congested, then they might consider rotating him somehow.
Yeah, yeah. He gets reserved to score in Champions League matches.
Yeah, true. So we'll move to midfield. For Aditya,
I saw
Neto there, right?
Let's not go to Neto now. But the main reason for me to wildcard, the number one reason for me to wildcard, was especially because of this one midfielder. I had to go for him. I think we all know his name. It's Salah. So obviously I had to go for Salah. Obviously Liverpool have a good run of fixtures. From now onwards, let's even give Big 10 is something I said. I think Everton at home is not a bad game for him, but I had to get him in, and the last game against Brighton kind of gave me the answers that I wanted. And I was losing a lot of value in some players, so that's the reason I had to. That was like the main reason for me to wildcard, and I couldn't, you know, take a chance on Salah going to 12.7. It would kind of imbalance my team, and I would have to, right, you know, make compromises elsewhere. So that's the reason I wildcarded, and straight I went for Mo Salah, no questions there. But few other players that I did consider were obviously Gerard Bowen was one. It was like between Bowen and Ward-Prowse. Obviously Ward-Prowse is someone you're expecting get returns from more or less set plays that, you know, West Ham take, and but I wanted to go for Bowen because he's kind of talisman, we can say, because I think Moyes also has tried playing him in the middle, and most of West Ham's attack will be more or less involving him. So I think for the price and for the next few gimmicks, I think Bowen was my second player.
And they have good home fixtures. The good thing is, you know, they have Everton at home, Forest at home. these are matches where I expect West Ham to score, right? Not outstanding, but no tough home fixture, Palace at home, right? I feel like they will be getting one in, right? And if they get one in, these are matches where I think Bowen is the guy who will get one in, right? So that is the only thing. And the problem with Ward-Prowse is, while over a set of 10 games, he might even match Bowen, right? But it's just that you don't know which one it is, right? You might have to take 9 blanks for you to take the 10th match might be a 15 point or 20 point even, right? So, and we never do that, right? So at some point of time, you get, you know, lost, you get frustrated, and you just sell him or you bench him, and that's the game week where he returns. That's the only issue I feel about Ward-Prowse. There's just no way you can, you know, very clearly predict when he's going to get his returns. Bowen feels like a good player, will give you something or the other, and he'll keep ticking at the very minimum.
Yep. Actually, we saw in last few seasons with Ward-Prowse, even though his point returns is quite consistent, you actually need to start him in every single game to guarantee the points. Even against tough games like against Arsenal and City, you need to start him because he's taking all the set pieces, so you don't know when the defenders are going to pop in and score the headers. And for Bowen instead, because I heard from quite a lot of West Ham fans that Kudus is going to start in his place and is going to start in Antonio's place. And it's going to happen at some stage, maybe the next game, we don't know about that. But if it happens, then you have an out-of-position player. So it's I think it's, Bowen is, for now, is a better choice for me, even though he's slightly more expensive. But if you look at eye tests against Newcastle, Bowen don't really do that well. Not sure why. Maybe they decided to defend in that game more than actually attack us. So yes, we have to see. But I think going for Bowen is a no-brainer for now.
And these are the games where Ward-Prowse has an equal potential as Bowen, you know, when West Ham sits back. Because I think Ward-Prowse is getting a lot of freedom from Moyes to be that second guy running in centrally, right, after Antonio. And that's how he scored against City, right? No one was tracking his movement. He was the guy who ended up scoring. So that is one thing that we need to keep in mind as well, that some games where they decide to sit back, you know, the away games like Villa away, Brentford away, Burnley away, these can be classic Ward-Prowse games. And you might be benching him and he might be taking all those points.
Yeah, and every time I look at Ward-Prowse, right, if you really look closely at all the corners and free kicks you take, it really scares you because of the quality of the crosses he put in. It's like every crosses he put from set pieces, you're expecting someone to get at the end of it. It's really one of the best set piece taker I've seen in maybe my whole life, including all the classic players as well. So it scares me every time when I see what Ward-Prowse taking a set piece. I don't know why, but he's really good.
And since we are towards that end of the fixture ticker, right, I just wanted to touch upon that team just beside West Ham, you know, Wolves, right? Did you consider Neto or Hwang by any chance, Aditya?
I did, and I have Neto in my draft.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so it's not nice.
What's the draft now? I'm really interested to see, you know, how's your team shaping up.
Yeah, so I think then let's go to the draft, and then I will just basically justify some template picks there.
Definitely.
So here's my first draft, the option one, the template option. That there is Martinelli there and not Saka. It's purely because I just shipped Saka out. Obviously, I got him for 8.5 with game week one. At that price drop, doesn't matter to me. I'm just going to buy him back for the same price if he's fit. So that's the reason. More or less, I'm going to get in Saka for Martin is just a placeholder for now.
Okay.
Just so that there are no flags in the draft.
Okay.
The something else. Obviously, Salah and Madison for me is I cannot afford Son at this point. My team value is very bad, and I have Watkins. There's a lot of fun value tied up there. But Madison for me is someone who's like a season keeper. He's someone who is going to tick and give you points throughout the course of the season. There might be a few occasional blanks. You'll have to take it up and move on. But he's not going to go anywhere from my team. So his place is also locked. And obviously, the front two is pretty much, I don't need to justify that. Watkins for the next few games. And Haaland, I'm not going to go the no Haaland way. And obviously, the bench also is fine. But now, there is one team that I'm not better. Maybe the next draft is slightly interesting, but there are a bit cost-cutting. Cost-cutting is done in the next draft to facilitate those players. But I'm not considered any United player. Is that, I think that's a bit surprising, even though we were like not on and off, on and off.
Not to be. We have been hearing you for the last two game weeks. I knew there will be no United players.
Yeah, there's going to be no United players. That's what I did. I had to ship out Rashford and Onana. If and when they start playing well, I think when the entire community is going to run after United players, when I think you will have to make the move. So till then, you can just sit back and enjoy. Those who have United players, I hope you get your returns against Sheffield. I think that's the price that all the managers have paid for keeping faith and having United players. So hopefully that works out. I think this draft is pretty much self-explanatory. There are few players here that I am like a bit now, since I think I have, if I just have a quick look, I have 1.3 in the bank with this team. So I think 0.8 is going to go straight for Saka from Martinelli. And I'll have 0.5. So I'm looking at few players here. That's Neto versus Gordon is someone I am a bit like on the fence there. That's the only one place. And maybe I could get Poro for Odogi, like, you know, just, you know, waste that fund, the money in the bank for that. And I think I'm done. I'm going to keep the remaining whatever 0.1, 0.2 is there.
I understand. This is an interesting player to discuss, Gordon, right? Neto versus Gordon. Where are you, Leong?
Actually, for me, my preference is none of the two, because my preference is actually going for Mitoma. Yes, due to his fixtures is just too delicious to ignore, and you have no Brighton player here, so I think you might regret
not having when Brighton,
he goes into game week 10, because even though he deservedly likes to rotate a lot, but not having Mitoma here, yeah, it's really hard.
I don't have enough. If I go for Saka, I have just 6.2.
But Mitoma was Owen. Where do you guys go?
If you can get Mitoma in for Neto, then you can downgrade Bowen to Ward-Prowse, like you like just now. You think?
But would you prefer Mitoma over Bowen, for example, Leong?
No. Bowen is the number one choice for me.
That's where this draft is proper.
Right. So one differential, right? If you have to pick Neto or Gordon, who do you go for, Leong?
I would go for Neto, because unlike last season, he's actually fully fit now, and he's playing every single minute for since game one until now, and he looks really dangerous, because there's no defender in the Premier League now that can stop him. When he gets the ball, he runs at you, then he'll dribble past you. Then, you know, he's really exciting to watch, and he can place on both the left and right-hand side. So he's very unpredictable, especially he's proving a good combination between him and Huang and Cunha as well, the front three. So I think they're hitting some sort of form right now. And looking at the fixtures as well, I think there are some fixtures that he can really return really well. You look at Bournemouth, Sheffield United, Fulham, you know, those are fixtures that I
think he'll say Spurs as well, but he'll not see Newcastle.
Yeah, I was skipping those because, yeah, those are...
It's a home game, right? Yeah. I think if you get Neto, you play Newcastle as well. Yeah. It's a home game, right? You give it a punt. I really like the Neto punt, primarily because I think as a player, I rate Neto a bit higher in terms of maturity of goal involvement, right? I just feel Neto will take the better decision to be somehow, you know, get involved in goal. I know Gordon is a very pacey player. He gets into good situations, and he definitely plays for a much, much better team. That's Newcastle. But I don't trust him enough as to how his decision-making will be. It can be anything. It can be wild. It can be very good. It can be something where you are, you know, cursing him. So that way, I really like Neto. I feel Neto is a good player, and he's on form. He's giving you assist. He's giving you some sort of return almost every week. So what more can you ask for? At his price, I think he's a good player to get in.
Yeah, and also with Gordon, you don't necessarily get 90 minutes from him every game. So we have options on the left. We have Linton coming back. We have Willock, we have Anderson there. So he might just run out of gas and get sub on around the 70 minutes. So I think Neto is more nailed in terms of minutes as well.
Great. So good draft overall.
What would you guys rate? If you were even to roast or rate? I mean, This is just draft one. Draft two is slightly different, but it's not that bad, I would say.
See, you have money in the bank, right? It's just that Martinelli to Saka thing, right? I feel it's like one position I would have liked you to have a bit more money, say, you know, a bit more money in the forward position or something, or even the goalkeeper, you know. But overall, purely from a playing 11 point of view, I think it's a very good draft. I would give it like 8 out of 10, right? I think it's you have all the right elements here, right? All the right set of players. You just need to, you know, it's more or less a draft where you need not even, you know, play around much. This feels like a draft of players where you know, just set and forget and look at it after 6 weeks and see how well it has done. So this feels like that kind of draft.
Yeah, the only thing that I would change from this draft is I would not have Udogi, and I would start because I would start Gabriel Cash and Burn most of the time. So maybe Udogi can go to someone cheaper, then you can maybe spend the money, like I say just now, on Mitoma somewhere.
I will definitely take that in consideration. We'll go to the draft number two that has maybe Sankalp's favorite player, and even someone who I've been rooting for. Obviously, I have Rasmus Højlund there as the third striker option. This is not that a bad draft. It's okay. It's pretty much having the same players, except three players are off. There's Martinelli still here. That will be Saka. And we have Højlund instead of Archer, and you have Palmer instead of Neto, because I think Palmer so far has been playing well for Chelsea. I think few games, and I think that's kind of a precautionary sub for him. But we don't know whether he's going to end up losing his place. But people are saying that he will end up keeping his place based on his performances and how impactful he has been for Chelsea. So this would be my second draft. But I think I'll have just 0.2 in the bank if I get in Saka. That's Watros. That's the only thing.
Yeah. Fourth midfielder. I think it can be a great draft, right? Primarily because you might be forced to play Ward-Prowse every week and you never know which other weeks he gives you solid returns, right? Hugely differential returns. But it's extremely risky because Palmer is not a starter currently, right? So it's like giving you very less options. It's primarily just Gabriel coming off the bench. So it's you deciding whether you want to play Gabriel, Udogi or Burn, right? Most weeks, which are two out of three. Is what you'll decide and who the goalkeeper will play. But you are very short of options. And the moment that, different kind of players come in, struggle, for example, Martinelli struggles. If you have Saka, obviously, it's a different game. I feel it is just one midfielder slot empty. For example, I might even downgrade Palmer to 4.3 midfielder and see whether I can upgrade Ward-Prowse to someone. For example, like Leong was saying, if you can make Mitoma your fourth midfielder in a similar draft, I don't care about the, you know, two fodder options, then I think it's a great draft to go with.
It is definitely possible.
But for me, I actually Palmer is a starter for the last two games, and he actually have three attacking returns, including one on penalty as well. He's playing on the right, which pushes Sterling to the left. I'm not sure if this is going to be a permanent thing, because we saw Mudrik is in good form as well in the international game. So Palmer is a big risk, but I actually like the pick for now, even though Chelsea have many tough games. But if you want to spend that little money on a Chelsea player who is hopefully going to start and is on penalty, then I think it's a good gamble to take. But for me, I prefer the first draft after seeing both. It's less risky. Yeah.
What if it's the second draft and you have Mitoma in place of Ward-Prowse and Saka instead of Martinelli? Maybe Udogi and maybe Palmer, one of them is downgraded maybe to 4.5-ish.
Yeah, it's okay. So just that we don't really see a lot from Højlund now. So again, it's a gamble that it is whether we are willing to take the gamble as a Man United fans or not.
See, for me, wildcard, the only con I think of wildcard one is that it's a team which has done well so far, right? But what it does is basically it brings you at par with the good FPL managers who have already been doing well, right? So you cannot go one up on them. basically from 6 million you'll drop down to say 3 million odd, right? And then from then on onwards you'll have the same team as everyone above you, and that's where the challenge is. Gaining ranks will be difficult after some point. And when you have a wild card, I always like to have that one or two picks which can, you know, really create a difference for you. I think Haaland is that guy. Neto is not that guy. Neto is a guy who I'm really interested, you know. It's a fun pick. I know he'll give you points, but will he give you a double digit, you know, two game weeks in a row? I don't think so. Will Haaland give? I think the probability is a bit higher compared to Neto.
Yeah, we'll see which draft ends up going as the final one. Currently, it's locked to one. But I'm not like completely away from Haaland at the moment.
Anyone who's watching this video, right, even live or even later, you know, do put in your comments and, you know, share your inputs as well. Which draft do you want Aditya to take?
Let's see. A lot of interesting things might happen next few days. I mean, with the press conference updates and all. Who knows what all changes I'll have to end up doing. And I think key questions, I think we kind of covered. Neto, Mitoma, Gordon. Mitoma is purely the best winner here in terms of the fixtures and what Brighton get.
So if you're rating, I think what we basically agreed upon is Mitoma, Neto, Gordon. Leong, okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
I think next is Bowen is better for, obviously, you'd expect more. For what price is not bad for that price, but Bowen is the better pick. Bottoman again is the better pick if he's fit. Saka is the better pick. Poro is the better pick. And if you have a good 3-4-3 draft, you go for it. If not, good for the template. You might do.
I think Martinelli is a very, very good pick. Right? It's just that it is dependent on a few conditions, right? So that left side has been screwed up. We have still not been able to settle that side of things. And what Saka, you know, benefits from apart from penalties is his side is completely settled. You have White playing, you have Odegaard dropping that side, right? And you might even have Jesus, you know, supporting, right? So Saka has a very balanced area where which he plays, and that's the reason I think the probability that he gets returns is always higher. But if it clicks again like last season, then if we get anywhere close to last season, then Martinelli is like the glue guy to have. Like, you know, we are talking about players like Bowen now. I think Martinelli is there. Yeah, he's an upgrade on those players, primarily because his finishing is so, so good.
Yes. Let's look at maybe next is the FPL dilemmas we have for this week. Let's quickly answer this. We are already up more than an hour we've taken up. So I think I'll go to Leong in terms of this one, the first one, because he has Luis Diaz. So starting Southampton place after the late international versus considering Klopp's tendency to bench them post-break.
So we have seen Klopp does it a lot of times, not just once, and he does it again in the previous international break with him starting Jota and also Gakpo. So I think for this one, Jota is quite, you can almost say that he will start. So there's one position left between three players. For Diaz, we saw that he actually traveled to Colombia and he played 180 minutes. So I think he'll be tired. Then for Gakpo, he's just returned from injury. He's in training. So we are not sure how fit he is to start.
Yeah.
And also we have, who else? Darwin. So Darwin, he's in good form. He has one goal and one assist against Brazil. And some people say that he has cramp on the way back, but he's training and he looks quite okay in training as well. So for me, as a Diaz owner, my decision is to bench him because I'm not sure he will start. I think he probably wouldn't. And I think Nunes is good to start in this one.
Come off the bench a bit? Or, you know, does...
No, he started and played the full match for both. So there's a concern.
No, at Liverpool, does he come off the bench a lot? Or...
Yeah, he does. When he's on the bench, he's almost certain that he will come off the bench. Okay. Yeah, so which is why...
Aditya, next one for you.
Next one, I think we have already... I've gone with Neto. So I think we have answered that Neto is purely better because I think even we had Dan also put out a very good thread comparing both Neto and Wang Yichen. And even he kind of said that both are good picks and Neto is obviously slightly better in terms of what you get in terms of value. But even if you don't have enough money, I think Hanvi-Chang is not a bad option. But it's better to shell out the extra and go for Neto is what even he said. And that's pretty much when I agree with that. Okay, next one. I think I'll give it to Sankar. Should you consider selling City assets during a tough fixture period?
So I have two kind of. So I also have Diaz with me on my team, and I'm pretty much looking to downgrade Diaz to a Gabriel, right? So defense, I think yes. Attack, I'm not as confident. I mean, Haaland for me is a no-brainer. Don't sell at all. The fact that he has not scored for last, you know, 2-3 weeks, and the fact that City lost 2 consecutive games means that City are going to come back stronger. Especially the home matches, for me, he's captaincy material. So he cannot be your captaincy material to direct selling material, right? So Alvarez is a bit of 50-50, but I don't see any reason to sell him again, right? You can take punts like Haaland, right? And hope for the best. I think the ceiling can be similar there. Especially if you're on a wild card, but free transfers I'll not waste on these players who I know are good players and rarely have fixtures that can be called bad fixtures. They're tough, but they're not bad.
So we look at the ownership right now, right? Haaland, of course, is the highest owned City players, 88%. Then next we have is Alvarez at 32%. The third one, surprisingly, is Ederson. 19%. So I don't really want to talk about this. Then we have Walker, 16%. Then we have Foden, 12%. And the next one, we have three defenders, Diaz, 8%, Akanji, 7%, and Ake, 6%. So for me, I would say, of course, you mentioned Haaland is a keep. And then Alvarez is up to you. Right? And Foden is up to you as well. But basically, I want to look at City's defenders, whether we want to keep them or sell them in this tough fixture. So we look at stats, of course. Sankar mentioned just now, City don't really have the best attacking stats, so it's fine. I think they'll pick it up. But in terms of defense, they actually have the best defensive stats right now. So even that is not enough to convince me to keep City defenders. So for me, is you try to keep the attackers and to sell the City defenders, because you look at the fixtures, I think they'll leak goals against the opponents because those are really attacking opponents for them.
Yeah. True.
Okay, next one, I think I'll give it to Leon because he kind of answered this one, that get Palace maintain their strong defensive form with Anderson, Marquis and Mitchell as options.
Yeah, so we have answered it just now. So for me, Gehi is the best option for now due to his price, and also he have some certain aerial threats in set pieces. And Anderson, not really because of his price point, 4.9 million for now. So for now, I don't really recommend getting any Crystal Palace defenders as mentioned just now. Maybe you can look into game week 12 and when the fixtures pick up. Mitchell, surprisingly, as a fullback, he don't really contribute a lot. He don't really put in the crosses, and his bonus points potential is not really good as well. When Palace keep clean sheets, usually Anderson and Gehi are two of the defenders that get the bonus points. So yeah, for me, if you want to go, then maybe game week 12 you can consider them, but for now it's a no. Yeah, so the next one, Aditya should answer that.
Is it a good idea to target Sheffield United assets for this particular game week? Yes, if you're not wildcarding, you have, let's say, Rashford, Bruno, Hoyland, hold them for this week and, you know, hope for the best. If you are, obviously, rolling a transfer will also play an important role for game week 10 when there is a good fixture swing. But
overall, what are your thoughts on United? Do you see a upturn now, you know, because this international break, generally good coaches work on their team during the international break, you know, iron out things, right? The fixtures are not bad. You have City next, but then again, after that, I think work around, right? So do you feel, at least from an attacking point of view, the more goals can come out from the team?
I really do hope so. I mean, I think we got a confirmation that Casemiro is out for this weekend. So he's not there. I know that Casemiro has not had a great start to this particular season, and United's defense has been completely all over the place. Martinez injured, Varane being on and off. Obviously, we lost Luke Shaw, Van Bissak also out. Reguilon came in. He also got injured here and there. So that's kind of impacted a lot of United's approach and build-up play, obviously with how influential Luke Shaw was for Rashford on the left-hand side. So, we'll see how things work out. But if we beat Sheffield, we play well. We play well in the Champions League game. We beat Man City as well. You know, when all these three things come into picture and there is kind of positive signs, I think game week, what is that? Game week 11 onwards? If you have, you know, free transfers or if someone is not performing well over the next 2-3 weeks, then you can look at United players.
And also someone buying 25% of the stakes of the club, I think, should give the club some sort of boost as well, even though it's not totally a good news. For me, I watched the England game and I focus on Rashford. And the thing is, when he plays in England, that particular game, he looks confident and he scored a good goal. So that makes me think again. But I want to continue observe him in the Sheffield United game, because I'm quite confused why he was taken off early in the previous game. I think he did quite okay and had a few chances as well. So I'm not sure why. Maybe United struggling to break down Brentford, so he wanted to try something different. And also, I would like to give some stats on Sheffield United. So some people said that Sheffield United is playing at home, so United might struggle to score. So not really, because you look at the stats again this season, Sheffield United is actually of course we know they are the worst in defense, and even they are worse in defense at home, but their home form is actually even worse than their away form. And out of the 22 goals that they've conceded, 13 of them is actually at home. So I think it's a really good chance for United to capitalize on this game and really bounce back and go into the Champions League and the Man City game with some sort of confidence that they can get away with something. Yeah, so I'm optimistic again, but every time I do that, then he blanks, so I don't know what to say.
Just don't say. Let's hope for the best. let's look at the next one. That is it time to part ways with Mbeumo after getting zero returns since game week 4? Well, I shipped him out, but I think they play Burnley this week, right? What do you think, Leo?
So I'm keeping him. I have Mbeumo and Wissa, so I'm keeping them both for this game. But if you look at Mbeumo, of course, we know in the last 4 game weeks, he has 0 returns and he's actually ranked 29th among all the midfielders in XGI. So really ugly stats. He's even behind Norgard, his own teammate, in terms of attacking stats in the last 4 games. And also after Burnley, he have 4 tough games in a row. So I'll just look into converting Mbeumo into Mitoma in game week 10. That's my plan for now. But for this game, I'll stick with him.
Next one.
Is that I think we are in a very similar space to United. You know, a lot of injuries, a lot of uncertainty. And that's, I think, the primary reason their gameplay has been completely affected. So they don't look on form, but if there's a team which can, if there's a player who can do really well for them on good matches, it's Mbeumo. So the Burnley one looks like a week where generally, everyone is expecting them to do well. And if Brentford do well, I do expect Mbeumo to have a haul. I've sold him last week. I got Madison in for him. Long term, he seems like a sell because Brentford are still sorting things out. But this week, I'm not as confident.
Interesting. So, next question, I'll put it on. Give it to Zuckerberg. Should you hold on to Chelsea players during this and with tough run of fixtures? I think this is very important for managers that still have Sterling, who did haul in Gimmick 8.
Should you hold on to them? I think defensively, perhaps, yes. And attackingly, no. I do feel like attacking-wise, you have good options, good alternatives. I would rather go there. You know, players from good teams with swinging fixtures. I know Sterling gave a massive haul, but he's given 2 hauls against 2, you know, teams like Luton, teams like Burnley, right? So you have to wait for the next time they play such attractive fixtures again. But defensively, I think they are solid. They are a bit unlucky as well with some of the goals that they have conceded. So I might keep the defensive players, but I'm more than happy to sell the attacking ones.
Yeah, I think the reason Chelsea has improved defensively is because the midfielder three actually start clicking with Caicedo, Gallagher, and Enzo. So they're starting to find the way to play together, and they've been so much more solid now. And of course, the news that Reece James is coming back, not sure whether he plays against Arsenal or he gets injured again. I don't want to discuss about that because there are some Gusto owners who don't know what to do with him, whether they are quite worried.
Don't worry. He's coming for 2 weeks vacation, and then he goes back, right? So, but I think we discussed Chelsea during the preseason, discussion. And one thing I remember saying is, good coaches, they always sort out their defenses first.
Yeah.
So Pochettino is a good coach. He's got the structure back in, and that is really helping.
Yeah, I would suggest holding for the next two games because both of the games are at home, and just observe if Chelsea is really back, and then we'll decide what to do with their assets. For I don't think it's a priority sell for this game week.
Next one, I think I will give it to Leon. This question: how crucial is it to roll a transfer in game week 10, especially there is obviously a fixture shift in game week 10?
Yeah, so we looked at fixture shift. There are quite a lot of teams that have a good fixture shift in game week 10. We saw just now when we look at the fixtures, Brighton, Liverpool, and West Ham. Even though Liverpool technically their fixture shifts starts this game week against Everton, but for me it's a tough game. So their fixture shift, all these three teams start in game week 10, and also we have Arsenal in game week 11, I think. Arsenal in game week 11, in game week 12, and also Villa's fixtures. I think the game week swing starts in game week 7, way back when Watkins scored that hat trick. So for me, that a lot of managers tend to hold back when they have the tendency to wildcard because they want to see it out in game week 9 and just take some 1 week punts and then see what happened, because they really want to attack these fixture swings. So because I know Aditya already did it because of the bad gaming and he wants to get Salah in. For me, I'll wildcard later. So for me, I won't wildcard in game week 10, I think, unless something drastic happened. Also worth noting that Burnley actually have a good fixture swing as well. Starting game week 10, you look at their opponents, game week 10, Bournemouth, Crystal Palace, of course, Arsenal in between. After that, they have West Ham, Sheffield United, Wolves, Brighton, Everton. So a mixture of fixtures, but they have some really good fixtures in, which is why just now you mentioned Charlie Taylor as well. Even though if you are forced to play him, I think it's not a bad thing as well.
Even Foster is a good pick. Foster is in game week 1-5.
Yeah, Foster has been scoring and been defying his XG, because I mentioned last game week his XG is around 2 goals, I think, but he's managed to have 5 attacking returns now. So whenever he plays, I think he's very attacking. So he's good for a third striker if you want to save some money to get Salah. So I think we'll talk about Salah later when we look at my bus team, because I have something different to discuss about. Yeah, for me, it's a good thing to wait for game week 10 and just assess your options. So if anyone have the urge to wildcard game week 9, I suggest to wait.
I wouldn't. If you want to do it off, you'll at least have Salah for the Everton Hall. So yeah, if you don't have.
Yeah.
Depends if he also. Okay. Last one, Tsimikas. I think we did say for 4.4, he's not a bad value, but don't expect too much from him.
Yeah. So
I think with that being said, we'll go on to captaincy. We are already close to about the 90-minute mark. I think we have to put up as fast as possible. So, obviously, captaincy, pretty much straightforward names. There's not some rocket science here.
I don't know how to make a point to not captain Haaland unless you don't own him. I think for those who don't own Haaland, they will go to Salah, definitely. Even though we have an early kickoff here, people advise not to captain early kickoff. But Trippier is not a bad choice because we are at home against a Crystal Palace side that is struggling to score. So can almost say that we'll keep a clean sheet and expecting attacking returns from Trippier, and he's on form. But this is a very, very differential captain. So I think there are just three main choices for people. Either it's Haaland, Salah or Son. But I wouldn't recommend going Son after that heartbreak last game week and seeing him struggling with some sort of injury all the time and not playing 90 minutes. I don't think it's a good option to go.
I wanted to go Alvarez because I feel that second striker role can do really well in a match against Brighton. But at the same time, I think I'll stick to Haaland primarily because I think the effective ownership is going to decrease a lot this week with a lot of sellers as well as some people choosing to captain Salah. So I'm going to hold my horses and just go with Haaland. Let's see.
Alvarez, I think he played both of the games for the qualifiers, and one of the game he was sub off. One of the game he played the full two match. So, even if he starts, I don't expect him to play 90 minutes. Maybe he'll be taken off 60, 70 minutes. So it might
that's
be a
enough. I mean, yeah. 60, 70 is more than enough if you have the right conditions, right? Mm-hmm. But it's just that with Pep, you never know, right? It's not the minutes that is a fear for me, but you never know. Pep might even bench him, rest him, right? So that's the primary reason I want to go for Haaland, you know, the security of minutes. And then the fact that he's already coming out a bit more differential than earlier weeks.
Yeah, actually, wouldn't be surprised even if Pep bench Haaland. Yeah, I won't be surprised.
I will be very surprised.
I don't think that's going to happen. Anyways, even I'm on Haaland, let's not dwell a lot on that. Obviously, if I mean, Son and Madison are obviously not that bad picks. But yeah, that being said, let's go on to, I think, your first team. So I think if the deck changed now, so we have Leong's team. And yeah, over to you.
Yeah, so in goalkeeper, of course, I start Turner over Leno because Turner have good fixtures at home against Luton. And the back three is the most headache part for me because I have cash, then I don't know who to start. I have Colville, I have Guardiola, and also I have a flex, Saliba. So for now, I'm going for the two home teams, Guardiola and Colville. Even I have to wait for the leagues. Yeah, I know Suncup wants me to start Saliba, but I'll wait for the news. If he's fully fit to start, maybe I'll start him. And also Guardiola news as well. Colville, I don't know, because he's playing at home, so it's centered to start him. So for now, I just leave it for the three home defenders. And for the four midfielders, I have Mbeumo, Foden, Rashford, and Son, so no problem about that. And Luis Diaz, as I mentioned just now, because I don't expect him to start against Everton, so I put him on the first bench. And then for the strikers, I have Watkins, Haaland, and Risa. So Risa finally returned with an assist last game, and he's at home against
Burnley. Played really
so,
well.
Yeah, I think he's a good choice to start. So my captaincy is on Haaland, and currently I'm rolling. So the only possible transfer is to get in a Newcastle defender for either, I think, maybe for Guardiola because of his fixtures coming up. So, but unfortunately, Dan Burn rise in price and Watman isn't sure to start. So I'm holding that thought for now. So, yeah, I've mentioned about Salah as well. So it's the first choice is, of course, I'm going to convert Son and Rashford into Salah and someone next game week. But I might not do that. So I might be going without Salah for that run. I know it's going to be very dangerous, but yeah, hoping that,
do you plan to bring Nunes as well? You know, some sort of Leopold develop to balance lack of Salah?
Yeah, that's part of my plan as well to to convert. If Son is not right and he looks like he's struggling, then I might convert him to maybe Bowen and upgrade Risa to Nunes. Yeah, there's something I plan to do. But yeah, and the priority is to sell Rashford next game week unless he really impressed me this game week against Sheffield United.
Rashford has to impress Leong. Come on.
Yeah. He has to score a hat-trick, or if not, he's gone next week, game week.
All okay, this is my team, a lot of issues, a lot of thoughts. I don't know exactly what I'm doing anymore. I'm swinging between -8 to saving a transfer, doing nothing. Doing nothing is the most difficult thing, actually. Taking -8 is easy. Ideally, I want to get Holland in for Edward this week. That would mean sacrificing Diaby, ideally. So Diaby to Neto, Diaby to Huang was something I was considering, but even that is not enough. So I still am 4.4 million short, and that would mean I need to do Ruben Dias to a Gabriel, and then hope that Ruben Dias to Gabriel is a move that I'm more comfortable with. But the fact is, I still have that third playing defender in question mark, right? I have two yellow flags and Kabore starting. So that's why I feel like I'm in a lot of trouble. Not doing anything feels like might be the wiser thing to do, but I don't know whether I'll do it actually. But the midfield looks decent for now. Madison, Salah, Odegaard, Bowen, and Diaby. Ideally, in my mind, I want to bring in someone like Saka or Martinelli. Like, just like you were talking about, you know, replacing Salah with a double up Liverpool attack. I'm thinking of taking Odegaard-Martinelli double up next week to, you know, support my lack of Saka. Let's see. But a lot of things that can come up. Overall, the team is differential enough. It's not something that I'm worried about. It's just that, I feel that price-wise, there are some players available and some fixtures are enticing me, but you don't know. Let's see.
Just something. Somehow, Luton likes to rotate Kabore. They have done it twice this season, so it's not a certainty to start as well. So if not starting, then Botman has to start for you in this case, right?
Hopefully, yeah. I don't have any other choice. Right? So last week I had 10 players. I had a good, I had a decent, I think 54, 55 points, and 30 came from Salah captaincy. But it was that lack of option from defense that hurt me. So I'm hoping that Botman is fit, because if Botman is fit, I'm not no longer worried about that Lamptey, Kabore, etc. Mm-hmm. But it's the lack of Botman that is really hurting me.
So is the captaincy still on Alvarez? Or you will change it?
I think I've changed it to Haaland now. If I mean, Alvarez is a fun captaincy to have. It's a feeling that, you know, against certain teams, certain kind of options come up better. For example, I remember last season when we played Brighton, Odegaard as well as Martinelli, they did much better than the central striker, right? So the opportunities that open up, I feel it opens up for the player who runs in a bit late. But at the same time, you also know that Haaland is due, and he's a very good striker. And I feel Brighton will give opportunities to City. So I just expect Haaland to finish them this week.
So no Salah captaincy this game week, right?
No Salah captaincy this week, because I don't like captaining, the first match there. Okay. I completely follow Gandhi's principles.
Okay,
so I think we're done for this long episode. Nearly 90 minutes we discussed game week 9 a bit.
Worth it.
In depth, in terms of the fixtures, and you guys had, I think, ton of fun roasting my wild card and even giving few suggestions. I think I will just go ahead and change our layout. It's not that comfortable. Let's do it this way. Is it? Or our cameras are pretty much gone.
We are
a bit weird. You guys are okay, but
we need you to be a bit more central. Okay, this is okay.
Or I think we could do this. This is also fine. This is much better. There's a few issues with the camera. I had to just move it up.
This looks like a selfie moment.
Not selfie. So this kind of brings us to the end of this episode 21. Pretty long episode. As I said, we covered game week 9. We looked at wildcard, the fixture swing, a few captaincy options, picks to consider in wildcard, and maybe a few differences here and there. Those who joined us on YouTube, hopefully you had a good time. Those who watch the stream later, please do drop in your comments, to drop us like and subscription. It just help us a lot. We're close to 1.1k mark. We've not hit it yet. So we're just like 3 subs away. So please do sub, drop us up. Anything
else? Who rate Aditya's wildcard team? You know, give us options for A or B.
Let's see
how it goes on.
Stay tuned for next game week's thread on why you should watch our live stream. I'll try to.
Awesome. Yeah. We'll also see a possible game week 10 wildcard by Leon. He'll go to get in Salah.
Every week it will be like, is it the wildcard week, Leon?
No.
Yeah, we'll kind of pester him. Okay, before I forget, those who are on audio platforms listening to us, do drop us a like, their rating on Spotify and Apple Podcast. We'll be back maybe for a deadline day stream. We'll see if that's feasible. If not, we'll be back for Game Week 10, seeing how Game Week 10 goes out for me personally. And then we'll discuss the Game Week 10 properly. The fixture swing, the actual fixture swing, and see whether those players actually played in Game Week 10 or not.
And we'll talk about how Aditya's wildcard team did and how his other wildcard team did much better.
Yeah, that's because he wants to get in Hoyland. Okay. That being said, we're done for this episode. We'll see you all next week. Yeah. Take care, guys. Bye.
Thank you.